You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.
My very clever young friend, my apprentice in many ways, James Giles, has joined me. And we'll talk, James, about French retaliation. But first, I want to talk about the great reshuffle. For many in the world, they will have not even noticed. Did the British people notice? Was it of any consequence?
Well, I really don't think it was. I mean, Boris Johnson is clearly saying we're halfway through the administration, there's an election coming round not too far away from now, probably 2023, instead of stringing it along to 2024. But when the opposition are just so weak, so ineffective, actually, does it really matter who are the cabinet ministers in government? I couldn't tell you the name of the shadow Home Secretary for Labour, one of the great offices of state.
And so, I couldn't either, actually.
Well, quite.
And I was a Labour MP for a very long time.
Almost 30 years, yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, as a result, you've got Boris Johnson putting his own lackeys into government.
Is that what it's about, a changing of the lackeys?
Yeah, that's essentially it. You know,
in which case, who was the loser?
Well, the losers were Raab, of course, over his handling of Afghanistan. He's got a demotion now to Justice Secretary.
Yes, I'm surprised he accepted it.
Yes, so am I. But, you know, he managed to wangle the title of Deputy Prime Minister out of Johnson as well.
Which gets you a job with Facebook.
Well, it will
when
do,
you
in due
leave
course.
Parliament, as,
well, exactly.
As Nick Clegg found out. You get a very, very nice job in California. although I'm not sure Dominic Raab is a man for California, though he was on a pedalo, not even a deck chair, when Kabul fell. Bad luck, that.
It's very bad luck. And instead you find people like Nadine Dorries promoted to Culture Secretary.
Now, she's one of the least cultured people I've ever met.
Well, indeed, she...
So she's ideal for the culture sector.
She's absolutely ideal for the job. She's known, I think, for eating a camel's toe and an ostrich's anus on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
A camel's toe.
Toe. And...
We better not go down that
No, indeed. But that's what she's very well known for, of course. She got suspended from the Tory party for a time for going down under and appearing on this show.
James, record... this is becoming ex-certificate going down
well,
under on camel's toes.
Well, hang on. Hang on a moment here. She's got no interest in theatre or culture whatsoever, it would seem. And, of course, her record on gay rights is voting against same-sex marriage and actually having a pretty anti... LGBT record. So it's just as well that there are definitely no gays in the performing arts sector, because, you know, that makes her ideally placed, of course, to be the culture secretary. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But she's there because she's been loyal to Johnson throughout, and as a result, she gets a promotion. People like Liz Truss, who very quietly have been getting on with the job, get promotions.
She's the new foreign secretary. Now, that's interesting. I hadn't backed her. My money's on Penny Mordaunt. Good odds, too. But she didn't go anywhere in the reshuffle. Liz Truss was preferred. She's now Britain's first Conservative woman foreign secretary. What can you tell us about her?
Well, Liz Truss is MP for a very safe seat. She was part of David Cameron's national A-list of candidates. So people who had been donors to the party, real strong shining lights of the future. Cameron put them in plumb safe seats to make sure they'd be there for life. She's very quietly and very effectively got on with the job at the Department for International Trade of making these trade deals. And so as a result, she's really popular among the Tory grassroots, which in my view is the reason why Boris Johnson put her out to be foreign secretary, because it means she'll be travelling the world, won't have quite as much time to wine and dine with the Tory grassroots, Tory members. Let us not forget, Theresa May made Boris Johnson her foreign secretary, in part to get him out of the limelight, out of the way, but look how well that ended for her.
So, yeah,
you know,
very,
Liz Truss could still emerge as a future leader.
As a future leader. I've not actually ever heard her speak, but she gets a good press.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, she's loved by the Tory membership for her role in creating what we have now in a post-Brexit Britain. She has been around the world negotiating trade deals, which makes her quite well-placed to be foreign secretary. She's built a rapport with these people. Unlike Joe Biden, she can remember the name of foreign leaders, which is always a plus.
Well, 30% of our respondents think that Joe Biden thought that the name of Australia's Prime Minister was Rolf Harris. I mean, 64% said that he thought his name was the fella down under, which is a very great tune, actually. Men at Work. I encourage Indeed. People to listen to it. We used it in our Tony Blair film. 7% thought he thought his name was Cobber, which in a way he did because he called him Pal, and Cobber is Australian for Australian pal. But 29% think he thought that the Australian PM was Rolf Harris. Now, you're about to find out who the shadow Home Secretary is, if you can stay awake.
Sure.
Because the Labour conference is upon us. What's your take on that?
Well, the Labour conference really is the showcase for a party at war. Starmer has lurched over to the very much the Blairite ring of the party.
The dark side.
Yeah, the dark side, as it were. And he has installed David Evans as his general secretary. David Evans has been imposing fire and rehire policies amongst Labour Party staff. Heaven forbid a Labour Party doing the things they despise those in the private sector doing. And so it's looking like David Evans won't actually get to keep the job. So the unions have withdrawn their support and they're subject to a vote at conference of ratification. So that could be a real blow to Starmer's leadership. Other CLPs have submitted motions to the Labour Party conference calling on disciplinaries from the parliamentary Labour Party to be heard and voted on at conference. One imagines that's a move to try and get Jeremy Corbyn reinstated as a Labour MP, because obviously he was readmitted to the party but still sits as an independent. You've also then got the woke element of the Labour Party putting forward motions, one such motion which actually wouldn't be legally compliant if it was adopted, is to guarantee that at least a third of all Labour Council candidates would be black or minority ethnic, which is, of course, against the very principles of the Equality
Act. The SNP did that in the Scottish elections.
They did indeed. But unlike the SNP, who just so happened to do that, Labour want to make it a binding policy in their constitution that you have to do that. So you've got the Blairites fighting to remove the Corbyns, the Len McCluskeys of this world from the party. You've got those on the left trying to maintain some level of relevance, trying to say we're still here, still banging the drum. You've got...
although it's a small achievement in life to stop somebody called David Evans becoming the General Secretary of the Labour Party.
Well, quite.
What does it matter if he's replaced on a week Monday by someone called Robert Evans, of whom you're equally oblivious, and who follow exactly the same policies?
Well, Robert Evans is a Blairite county councillor in Surrey, so it could well be Robert Evans.
I knew that you would know that, because you know everything. Thank you, James. Stay
Most
in
welcome.
Your place, because we might get your comments on
sure.
some of the calls. Let's hear from Paul in London. Can we do that? Paul in London? Go ahead, Paul.
Cheers. How are you? By the way, what a game that was today.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, such drama and such romance. Jesse Lingard's goal will live long, and David De Gea's very rare penalty save, perhaps even longer.
Absolutely insane. Quickly on the vaccine passports. I think that's... Like, I'm not... My views on policy are a bit funny, but I think they're a monstrosity. But what I find more bizarre is that you've got people who, if there's a sort of, they realise if you justify vaccine passports, they don't just apply to like nightclubs. They could apply to all sorts of things. And some of the people who are most defensive of these vaccine passports will be very sort of, they'll be very, what's the word? Sort of liberals who have these issues on sort of protecting refugees and stuff like that, they don't seem to realise that could easily affect them as well in a very negative way, but they're some of the most keenest advocates of it.
We live in a, if you'll forgive the pun, a cross-dressing world. The Liberals are the most authoritarian on issues like COVID, vaccine passports, masks, and so on. If you're going to be screamed at in the street for not wearing a mask, it's quite likely that someone that defines themselves as liberal that will be doing it.
And what I find bizarre, some of these people seem to think that if you have a sort of situation where if you need a vaccine passport to go into a nightclub, why should you not need it to enter the country? Like, for example, why should you not need it to enter the country? Why should you not need it to access the NHS? But I wouldn't support
these are people that, for some reason, are ready to die on the hill against voter ID. They don't want a person turning up at the ballot box to be asked to identify themselves as actually being a legitimate voter in that election, but they want people to have a vaccine passport. You're right. It's a double-edged sword, Paul.
You know, it's just something that's been bothering me. I've just been seeing people just supporting. I've seen Blair was banging the drum on it this morning.
Yeah.
And I just thought,
well, that is the clinching argument for me, James. Thanks for that, Paul. When Tony Blair becomes the standard bearer for something, something in my mind tells me that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't possibly think why, but Tony Blair does seem to give the kiss of death to any policy that he puts his endorsement to.
Well, he's killed a lot of people.
Well, indeed. He seems for now to have killed off the idea of vaccine passports, but you've got a Conservative government that even now really can't make up their mind. They've got a huge backbench opposition to the concept. So in one breath, Sajid Javid is saying, no, absolutely not. It's not where we're going. We're not about that. And in the next breath, they're saying, well, give it a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and we might still need to
do
that.
We might have to do it. Did you see that Michael Gove says that he suspects that Dominic Cummings, once as close to him as you and I are, may be suffering from mental illness?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dominic Cummings was suffering from some form of mental illness. I mean, some of the things he's been saying recently on Twitter have become ever more outlandish, ever more attention-seeking. And the one that really raised my eyebrows was Dominic Cummings saying he was thinking of starting an OnlyFans account. Now, that website is used for things that definitely isn't political argument,
no,
and political discourse.
Kangaroo anuses and,
yes, and camel toes.
And so on. Let's take Ian in Hounslow. Go ahead, Ian.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I was listening to Mr. Sneddon earlier, and he touched on something where the elites are using the TG issue, the transgender issue, and others to end talk of class struggle and keep power and wealth concentrated in their hands.
Mm. Do you really think that, Ian? I mean, that would be a successful conspiracy if that theory was right. But isn't it just that so many people on the left are stark raving bonkers?
Well, they're not the left, are they?
No,
they're
they call
the liberal
themselves. They call themselves
the left.
No, they're not really. If you go to any Jeremy Corbyn rally, you'll find an astoundingly high number of the people at that rally identify with these policies. I'm sorry, it's not the elites.
Well, I've been to these meetings that you talk about, George. Compared to me, they're the elites. They wear fancy clothes, expensive clothes.
I wish.
Luggage, etc. I found myself out of place being as a working class Marxist. I did not fit in with that environment.
Well, I know exactly how you feel. Luckily, I'm not invited to any of these events anymore. Even the 20th anniversary of the Stop the War Coalition, of which I was a founder, and for 20 years, I thought, the vice president. I'm not invited to speak, which is quite a relief as well as an insult.
But, George, One final thing.
Yeah.
The demons that these people are summoning up are, quite frankly, terrifying in the form of fascism. You're in a mixed marriage. I was. I have a gay brother. I have Asian friends and neighbours. We all be caught up in the maelstrom, stirred up by this lot. Well, they're locked up in their gated estates. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, I'm afraid of that too. I think to an extent that's already happened. You were in a mixed marriage. I've been in more than one. I have five mixed race children. But I'm routinely denounced as a racist. So we are in dystopian times, Ian.
Well, I don't know. All I want to do is stop these people lying, putting out this propaganda, turning neighbour against neighbour.
I'm with you on that. I agree. And I agree with you that they're not the left, but they think they're the left. They are thought by the public to be the left, and therein lies the problem. Ian, as always,
exactly.
Great to talk to you. There is a lot of strangeness about in politics in Britain, isn't there?
There certainly is. I mean, there's been a complete redefining of what being left and being right is.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought I'd see the day when you had Labour campaigning against raising taxes and a Conservative Party in government
that
saying,
happened.
Let's raise them, it's the highest
Some
level since
Some people watching
the war.
And listening to this may not know it, but that happened last
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. And that, to me, epitomises the current political situation. You've got working-class people that should be Labour voters voting Conservative. You've got people who would be Labour voters... Conservative voters now voting for Labour. And actually, politics in Britain has just become a weird mishmash of everything. You know, Liberals have taken over the Labour Party, the Labour
They've
Party...
They've also taken over the Conservative Party.
Well, indeed.
We've actually got Liberal hegemony.
Absolutely.
Small L Liberal.
Yes, sure.
The actual Liberals with a capital L, they're a joke, but why would you need them?
Well, quite.
You've got Liberals running Labour and Liberals sure. running the Conservative.
Indeed. Well, you're saying two cheeks of the same arse has never been more true in British
Yeah, except
politics.
It's morphed into
downloads
into
of
one
the
cheek.
Podcast.
Indeed.
Huge numbers are downloading this week's highlights in the UK and in the US, but also in countries like Japan, India, Denmark, Saudi Arabia, you probably get executed for that. Korea, Switzerland, the UAE, and Hong Kong in China.
Thank you for all the great reviews you've been leaving on Apple Podcasts, and including this one. In British politics, Mr. Galloway stands as the last bastion of sense. Like a fine wine, he gets better with age. I have been a fan of his since 2002. I would recommend anyone to listen to him. The best podcast around. Thank you very much indeed. That was a touching testimony. Thank you so much. If you do listen, give a 5-star review. Why don't you?
You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.